Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
I'm Brian Lehrer. This is my Daily Politics Podcast from WNYC Studios. It's Monday, November 9th. So no, the president still hasn't conceded the election, and his attorney, or at least one of them, former New York Mayor Rudolph Giuliani, is promising a lot more lawsuits yet to come, not just the one you've already heard about, over the vote counting beginning today. There's even a scenario that I mentioned at the beginning of the show that could involve tying up the count in court so much, even without proving voter fraud, that the Pennsylvania legislature and others controlled by Republicans would wind up in charge of the electoral votes and flip the result from Biden to Trump. To talk about the various legal scenarios already in play and those likely to come, I'm joined by one of the country's leading experts in election law, Richard Hasson. He's a professor of law and political science at the University of California at Irvine, writes the Election Law blog, and his book, Election Meltdown, Dirty Tricks, Distrust, and the Threat to American Democracy, came out earlier this year. Professor Hasson, thanks so much for doing this. Welcome back to WNYC.
Great to be with you.
So let's run through some of the lawsuits challenging the vote counting in these swing states. Is there one that you have your eye on above the others for its potential to invalidate ballots that were cast?
Well, there's one that could potentially invalidate ballots that were cast, but not enough in terms of the margin that it would make a difference in the outcome. This is the case involving late arriving ballots in Pennsylvania. We think there's probably about 10,000 of them, which is not going to be enough of a margin, even if the Supreme Court took the unlikely step of saying that those ballots couldn't count for president. It wouldn't make a difference in the outcome, both in the outcome of the presidential race, both because it wouldn't be enough to affect Pennsylvania, and also because it appears that Pennsylvania won't be necessary for an electoral college victory for Biden.
Because they will have won so many states. But it's funny about that one. For all the hoo-ha and all that's been in the press and all the Supreme Court has been involved in that already, including Justice Alito just the other day reminding Pennsylvania to segregate those ballots just in case they get excluded. It's just not that many ballots, the ones that came in between the postmark on Election Day and the deadline for their arrival on Friday. That's the whole big dispute, is ballots that came in during that three-day period if they were postmarked by Election Day. And you're telling us it's just not that many ballots.
Well, and it's no accident that it's not that many ballots. There was a very strong effort to notify people not to use the U.S. mails in the last week before the election because the mails, especially in places like Philadelphia, were moving very slowly. So people use drop boxes or they drop their ballots at polling places or voted in polling places. And so, in Luzerne County, for example, the figures I saw over the weekend, they had 149,000 voters and only 255 sent in ballots that arrived in that last three-day period. So while there may be legal merit, the Supreme Court has not fully weighed in on this yet to excluding those ballots. I'd still bet against excluding those ballots. It won't make a difference either for Pennsylvania or for the presidential election overall.
Let's move on to another one. One claim that seems prominent is the claim that observers trying to make sure each counted ballot is legit in Pennsylvania aren't allowed close enough. It's 6 feet for social distancing. So therefore, the claim is they can't see the print on the ballot, so they can't tell if ballots are fraudulent. Do observers from both parties have the right to see them more closely? Is there any legal precedent one way or another on this?
So state law in Pennsylvania gives observers the right to see what's going on, to observe the count. There are also video cameras in the counting rooms in Philadelphia, at least.
With a long enough lens to get tight enough on those ballots to see the fine print?
Oh, probably not, but to see the overall that there are observers in place. So the Trump campaign went into both state and federal court, and they were making a claim in federal court that they didn't have observers, and there was this moment that got some attention where the judge asked the Trump campaign lawyer, how many observers were allowed in, and he said a non-zero number, which got some attention. He didn't put a figure on it. After the hearing, the judge had the campaign and election officials huddle together, and they agreed to allow some more observers in there. But even if there were a problem with the observers, unless you could show that there is some kind of fraud that's going on, then you're not going to overturn the results of the election. Again, you have to have enough of a problem that it would be pretty much a system failure to turn over what's going to be a margin of tens of thousands of votes. So no election is done perfectly. If judges could overturn an election if there was any kind of problem, we have judges deciding elections all the time. The question is this such a large problem, or is this election so close that you could conceivably see a way that a judicial ruling could make a change in the outcome?
But you're saying it would be very hard for a judicial ruling to make a change in the outcome in Pennsylvania based on that claim, because there isn't evidence of fraudulent ballots. But the argument that I've seen pro-Trump guests make on television over the last few days is that any ballot that can't be inspected closely enough to be read should be disqualified, because nobody knows if it was fraudulent or not. Is it possible that a court
right.
could rule in the favor of that argument?
I don't think so, because you'd have to have some kind of evidence that there are fraudulent ballots going in, and there are plenty of places where the count is being observed where they're not finding fraudulent ballots. Fraudulent ballots is just a statement that's being made without any support, right? So there are plenty of places where if there was going to be fraud, you would have been able to see it, something that would be visible on the face of a ballot. And of course, the Trump campaign has the ability in these closer states to demand a recount. Recounts almost never change results by more than on a statewide basis by more than a few hundred votes. But you think there's a problem that you can uncover, you can ask for a recount. There are mechanisms to try to double check things if there is a problem.
But what about, and I'm going to continue to play out the scenario around this Pennsylvania observer's claim, if somebody or a few people produce a few fraudulent ballots here and there, that can always happen, not an indication of widespread or systemic voter fraud of any kind, but there could always be a little chicanery here or there, or even accidental things like, a dead person or two being on the name of a ballot that got returned, who knows how or why. And then they say, well, we have some evidence. It isn't enough to overturn the election, not nearly, but here's evidence that things are happening, and we need to know the extent to which things are happening.
Right. So that's why you have the ability to ask for recounts or to, seek a remedy if you can provide proof that there's a problem. Showing that you have fewer than the margin between the candidates in terms of the number of illegal votes you can prove is not going to be enough to overturn an election. You actually have to come forward with proof. You can't just say this. And, I'm trying to think of what kind of proof you could actually show that if we were standing 2 feet closer, we could show that this is fraud. And, I haven't seen anything, I haven't seen any evidence whatsoever that there was any kind of fraud with any ballot that could have been detected if the observer was closer. And again, even if you could show it in Pennsylvania, it's not enough in terms of the number of ballots. And even if you somehow overturn Pennsylvania, it's not enough to change the outcome of the presidential election. This is why I think if the president brought in the most responsible Republican lawyers in the country, they would tell him that given what he faces in terms of the burden of proof and the margin of victory, unless something new comes forward that we haven't seen yet, showing systemic failure across multiple states, there is no viable path to litigate this to victory.
Let me get your take on the sort of nightmare scenario that I was laying out at the top of the segment, where they delay things so much that they can't satisfy the count, the complete account, because it's all tied up in court, by the deadline for all the states, which is December 8th, and then the state legislatures get to designate the electors. Here's a clip from 60 Minutes last night of Republican attorney Ben Ginsburg, who goes there after being asked what these lawyers are doing, pursuing cases for Donald Trump that don't seem to have any merit.
This could be an instance of trying to slow down counts in individual states in the hopes that those states don't complete their job of certifying election results in time for the Electoral College to meet. And then he would go back to something else he's talked about, which is telling legislators to go and vote Trump slates, even in states that were won by Biden.
So I don't know if you were watching television last night, Professor Hassan, but that certainly gave people shudders when it showed up on 60 Minutes as an argument. And then CNN later last night was going big with that as a possibility that the Trump campaign is considering. Could you describe that scenario? First of all, this is a scenario that almost nobody listening now has ever heard of. What is this about December 8th and conditions under which state legislatures can negate the apparent majority vote of the people?
Well, let me start off with my bottom line, which is I don't think this is going anywhere. And, I think that was Ben just trying to come up with a plausible explanation for what the Trump endgame might be if they actually have thought this through. So the Constitution says that when it comes to presidential electors, each state gets to set the manner for choosing presidential electors. And every state in the United States has chosen the manner to have a popular vote. And in all but two states, the popular vote winner gets all the Electoral College votes. In two states, it's partly divided by congressional district. So everyone's made a choice already, every state legislature, to give this power to the voters. Now, there's a provision in a federal law called the Electoral Count Act, which says that if a state fails to make a choice by the time that they're supposed to, which is this early December date, if there's been a failure, then the state legislature can step in and can appoint a slate of electors. So you'd have to have some kind of failure of the system. Right now, we are barreling ahead towards certification. And Pennsylvania is one of the states that certifies on the early side. Every state has their own timetable. California is on the later side. It has a lot of ballots, mail ballots. It takes them weeks to count those. Once the certification, then the choice is made, who the electors are. And then that will eventually be transmitted from the state's governor to Congress, and the votes will be counted on January 6th. You'd have to have a really compelling reason to stop the count, to stop the certification. And you'd have to come forward with some plausible basis for that. And so far, none of these lawsuits are presenting anything like the kind of evidence you would need to stop vote counting and somehow delay it for a month to prevent the certification of the vote and eventual choice of electors and transmission of electors to Congress.
So that sounds reassuring. But for example, in an era of tribal politics where no matter how outrageous a thing Trump does, Lindsey Graham and Mitch McConnell and a lot of other people seem to get behind it. And the same may be true about state legislators in Pennsylvania. I don't know. Why couldn't the Trump campaign file a suit on the day before the deadline in Pennsylvania to certify the vote and then go to the legislature and say, well, the court hasn't resolved the election yet, so there is no resolution, and have politics take it from there?
Well, first of all, there have a couple of Republican legislative leaders wrote an op-ed over the weekend and said, we're not choosing the electors. This is for the people to do. So they've taken it off the table. I don't know if that's true for the legislators in Michigan. If you think of another state that has a Republican legislature that Biden won. But at least in Pennsylvania, they've taken it off the table. Lindsey Graham saying really irresponsible things, and I'm quite concerned about it because I think it's an attempt to delegitimize the Biden presidency. But you can't run into court the day before the day before certification and say, hey, wait. There's a legal doctrine called latches, another one called estoppel, and basically the idea is if you have a chance to raise a claim, you don't wait to the last minute, especially in an election. You've got to move very quickly. And that's been a problem with a lot of these claims that the Trump campaign has made. In Nevada, for example, they tried to attack the use of machines that verify signatures, but they waited till they were almost done with the counting when they knew that these machines were in use for years. So you don't get to just come into court and just throw it against the wall and see what happens. You've got to have a showing of diligence on top of everything else. So, you know, there's a lot of worry, and I certainly understand it. But I would say Mitch McConnell has not been going along with Lindsey Graham and saying that there should be, we should try to throw this to the legislature. He's just said, McConnell has just said, we should go through the legal process and make sure that everything is in order. And Senator Blunt, who's on the Rules Committee, is a responsible voice in Congress, was on ABC News this week.
Yesterday. And let me set this up for you, because I have perhaps the clip you're referring to. Here is Missouri Senator Roy Blunt of Missouri on ABC this week yesterday.
I thought Vice President Biden did a great job last night talking about where the country wants to head. And one way to do that is to finish this election the way it deserves to be finished.
Now, that makes it sound, at least on the surface, like he considers the election not finished, even as Fox News was running a chyron all day yesterday that referred to President-elect Joe Biden.
So there's a distinction between how the country treats the media call of an election being done and the official count. And the official count is not done yet. That is certainly true. But the media, AP and others, wait until there is a very high degree of certainty as to who the winner is of the election. And so I read Senator Blunt's comments quite differently than how you're presenting them. This, to me, looks much more like what happened with Matt Bevin, who was running for governor of Kentucky in 2018. He was the incumbent. He was running against a Democrat, Andy Beshear. He was behind in the count. He claimed voter fraud without producing any evidence, and he asked for the Kentucky legislature to essentially take away the power of the voters to vote and appoint him as governor. Kind of a similar kind of move. And at first, Republican legislator said, well, let's let this process play out. Let's see what kind of evidence you produce. And this is the same thing that Roy Blunt said yesterday. He said, there's a legal process. If you've got evidence, come to court and do it. But I expect in days or weeks this will be over. That's the part that I thought was most significant from Blunt. Trump can come in and he has every right, for example, to request a recount in a place like Wisconsin, where he's behind by about 20,000 votes. A recount on a statewide level has never moved more than, I think, about 1,500 votes. And usually it's around 300 votes. So you can try, sure, and let the process play out. And maybe that's what this is a just a way to give the president something that he can say that he's, you know, fought hard and he still believes that there's fraud. But Blunt seemed to be saying, you know, we're moving in the right direction. So while there's been mostly silence from Republican leaders and there's been a few irresponsible voices among the senators, Graham and Hawley and Cruz, I think for the most part, they're letting this play out. Let Trump try to come forward with his cases. Let's see what the evidence is. Let's see if they're going to come up with $3 million to run a recount in Wisconsin that is practically certain to fail, and then we can see where we are.
Politically, Trump was trying to set this up for weeks and months before the election, saying all these mail-in ballots would lead to fraud with no evidence. And now, with no evidence, he's turning around and saying, oh, all these election, all these mail-in ballots led to fraud. Well, he doesn't have any evidence. He has some lawsuits that he's filing. But politically, he's got millions of people believing him.
Yeah, and I think that it's very troubling that we're going to have a situation where Biden is going to become president and he's already being delegitimized, and there are going to be likely millions of people who are going to believe that this election was stolen, despite the fact that there's no evidence to support that. I think it's very worrisome when you have claims of fraud, and that's kind of the theme of my book, Election Meltdown, is that Americans' confidence in the election process is deteriorating in part because of these fake claims of voter fraud and these yelling of stolen elections and trying to rile up your side to believe that whenever you don't win, the election is stolen. And Trump has been the worst at that. That doesn't mean that that's going to have any effect on any legal proceedings or on any official proceedings for certifying the vote. But it does create a kind of poison atmosphere where there is there are a lot of people who are convinced, and they're sending me emails, so I know they're convinced that this election is rife with fraud.
And it's the kind of classlessness, if I may say, that has marked Trump's whole career. Trump, who would never concede and always claim it was from fraud, like he never conceded that Hillary Clinton won the popular vote, even though he impaneled a fraud commission and they looked into it and didn't find anything, never conceded that Barack Obama is a citizen of the United States, never conceded that the Central Park Five were wrongly convicted, because he can't ever concede that he was wrong or not the winner of anything, no matter how big or small. And yet he gets people to back him.
And this is why I think, you know, I've been saying for months that I didn't expect Trump would concede if he lost, that he would claim fraud. The question is what others do. And so far, you know, we've heard mostly silence because Trump is still the leader of the Republican Party. He still is more popular than most of the senators in Congress. And so getting them to publicly push back is a lot harder than getting the pushback like we got yesterday from President George W. Bush, who issued a statement congratulating Biden, saying that Trump has every right to pursue his legal remedies. But all the evidence is that so far that's been produced is that this election was conducted with integrity. Yeah. And that's really the message I think we should hear from more Republicans. And I hope we will as this week goes by, unless something changes and the Trump campaign comes up with some new theory to try to show that there is actually a major problem. So far, what we've seen has been really very small bore problems or allegations of fraud that are not backed by evidence.
Then to wrap this up, one of the strange things in the strange press conference at the Four Seasons landscaping business in Philadelphia on Saturday was when Rudy Giuliani was told the networks had called the race for Biden, and his response was, and I won't attempt to imitate him because Kate McKinnon has that covered, networks don't get to decide elections, courts do. Now, courts decide elections, not voters? What a way to see the presidency. It's not who the voters choose. It's where you find the loophole.
Well, let me just say the fact that Rudy Giuliani, and rather than one of the kind of A-list Republican election lawyers is in charge of this, that tells you all you need to know. If there were a credible legal case that could be brought, the people who'd be out fronting it would look very different.
And we will leave it there with Richard Hasson, professor of law and political science at the University of California at Irvine. You can follow him at his election law blog. And his new book is Election Meltdown, Dirty Tricks, Distrust, and the Threat to American Democracy. Thank you so much for your clarity.
Thank you.
Brian Lehrer, a Daily Politics podcast, is an excerpt from my live daily radio show, The Brian Lehrer Show, on WNYC Radio, 10 a.m. to noon Eastern Time, if you want to listen live at WNYC.org. Thanks for listening today. Talk to you next time.